Hello and welcome to episode 57 of Smooth Traffic. It's our F1 2019 preview episode.
That's right, we do it every Christmas.
And you know what that means? John and I are here to preview the new season. And Ben, is that you?
I'm here to talk about the colour of the cars.
Good choice.
Ben likes colours.
Yeah, colours are good, Ben.
What's your favourite colour, Ben?
Is it blue?
No, don't tell us yet. Let's wait till after we've looked at the cars.
Good choice. Is it purple?
No.
So, where better to start off this season preview
than in the pit lane?
Yes, that's a sensible place to start, John.
Indeed.
Have you ever been to a pit lane?
I have. I've been to three pit lanes.
You've been to a Formula One pit lane?
No.
Well, then there we go. Cheerio, listeners!
Does it have to be in real life?
Yes.
I don't know.
Okay. Ben, have you ever been to a pit lane?
Only Formula E.
Well, that's pretty close. Formula cars.
I've been there.
So have I. We went together, I believe.
Yeah, but I didn't say it in time, so now it doesn't count.
Anyway, the new season is upon us. Are you excited, John?
Well, it's not quite upon us, but it is almost upon us, King. So yes, I am almost excited.
Well, thank you for that gripping insight. Ben, are you excited / at all interested in the new Formula One season?
Not really.
This is the correct answer. Because it's going to be dull as fuck.
Yeah, well, Johnny keeps telling me that. It doesn't inspire me to watch it then.
No, I mean, that is a fair point. But before we even get on to that, how are you going to watch it? Because this is the first year of Sky's exclusive deal, which means that we don't have any terrestrial races apart from Silverstone. That is shown on Channel 4 because they have some special right to show the British Grand Prix.
So on Sky, do they have a specific channel where are people who have got general sports packages able to watch it?
Yeah, so you'd need to have the Sky Sports package. One of their channels is Sky Sports F1. Catchy title. Okay.
So you don't have to pay like an additional £5 a month or something to watch?
No. It's not like a separate pay-per-view for just that. So if you've already got Sky, Sky Sports, then you already get the Sky Sports F1 channel. But obviously, if you don't have the luxury of Sky Sports... Jonathan, for instance.
It's like £150 a month.
I don't think that's quite right.
It is if you have three of them.
Then, yeah, obviously, there is nothing on terrestrial television apart from highlights on Channel 4. So, I'm personally interested to see how this affects viewer ratings in this country. Because I do know a lot of people that watch Formula 1 do watch it through Sky already, or have in the past couple of seasons already watched it through Sky.
Oh, so they've been running it as well?
Yeah. So, okay. 3 years ago, maybe? I think 2 or 3 years ago, Sky and Channel 4 got a joint deal. So Sky basically show every race. Channel 4 had rights to show, was it half the races? I think, and they had specific ones that were in the contract that they were guaranteed to be able to show, weren't they?
It actually was half a race when you accounted for all the adverts that Channel 4 put in during the race anyway.
Well, no, yeah. I have to pick you up on that, John, because Channel 4 didn't put adverts on during the race.
Did they not?
No. Not like ITV used to back in the day.
I kind of wish they had, though.
But then you'd just get more Steve Jones doing links.
Yeah, good point.
Well, moving on from the lack of televisual availability for people like John, let's jump in and look at the colours. I mean, the new team liveries.
Yes, lovely colours on the cars of this year, including a red Ferrari, a energy drink coloured Red Bull car, a silver Mercedes, a mostly black but also yellow Renault, a Williams, a pink car that looks slightly like a sex toy, another energy drink coloured car, a stealth car, and a sexy car.
And the McLaren.
And the McLaren.
Oh yes, and McLaren. The McLaren. Yeah, the McLaren that looks like the wrong end of a peach. It's got blue mould on it.
Blue mould?
Yeah, and the blue mould's got triangle bits in it as well.
Okay. So, Ben, as the colour expert for our F1 segment, which of those cars inspires you to think, if I was going to support a team this season, that would be the one?
Well, I mean, the Ferrari's just the Ferrari colour in it, so they haven't really done anything new or different, which is fine. I don't know what's going on with the McLaren. That yellow with blue just looks odd.
I believe you'll find it's orange, Ben.
Is it orange?
Yeah, Ben!
Yeah, it is orange.
Go back to primary school and learn your colours, Ben.
All right, yeah, John, okay. Calm down.
The Red Bull one's like, yeah. Mercedes is bit dull. I quite like the Renault, the yellow and black, actually.
I thought Ben would choose the Mercedes because that's the most corporate.
That's what I'm thinking, it's a bit dull. I don't know what Williams are doing. Why haven't they got rid of the old school?
Personally, I think that the Williams car looks like something that you would design on a racing game when you've made your own racing team and you've gone, oh, let's pick some random sponsors like Rokit and Shaw for Men. And then you've just kind of picked some colours and you've gone, oh, let's blend them slightly. Ooh.
So what you're saying is it looks a bit cheap and lazy.
Well, no, it just looks like something I'd design.
Yeah.
I really like it.
I didn't say I don't like it.
The problem is, Williams are shit.
Yeah.
So no one's going to see it. Because they'll be at the back of the grid all the time, every day, even at Christmas.
Well, apparently they didn't get the car to testing until the third or fourth day of testing.
Yeah, they forgot Formula One was starting.
They were still working on the car, and their own estimates put them 3 or 4 seconds down on last year's car.
Oops.
And because of the regulation changes, Ben, the cars are, in theory, slower this season. But most of the teams have worked over the winter to kind of get that time back. So most of them are posting fairly similar times to last season. But Williams apparently believe that they're 3 or 4 seconds off last year still. And they were plumb last year, really, weren't they? So,
but that is better than the 3 days they were off just a few days ago. So they've gained a lot of time in the last few days, I would say that. Development's going well.
I love your positivity, John.
Well, we'll come on to those regulation changes in a minute, Shri.
Yes,
I'm interested to hear about that. The other couple of cars that we haven't talked about, colour-wise, I mean, the pink of the Racing Point, that's just... Yeah.
Reminds me of, like...
It's probably best you don't say what it reminds you of, John.
Candy floss is what I was going to say.
Okay.
It's kind of got that look of cheap sweets.
Oh, squishies! The squishies! Squishies!
The pink and white ones that are squishy.
Pink and white squishies, they're delicious.
But would you eat the Racing Point Force India, whatever you want to call that?
Yeah, okay. I would. Yeah, I definitely would.
Okay.
Looks delicious.
And the Toro Rosso, bit bland. Oh, that's just like all black. That's sort of boring.
It's not black, Ben.
Is it not?
That's black with gold trim. To be fair, the photo that I've shared with you isn't probably the best to show it off.
Okay.
But if you see the launch shots of it, it actually looks quite tidy.
Okay.
It's like a slightly sharper version of the Renault.
So have they gone for a black car? Because black cars are harder to see, aren't they? So is it to try and trick people when they come up?
They can sneak up on people.
Exactly. And then the final one is, I mean, I'm not sure this picture, there's a wheel missing on it. Oh, that's the Alpha. So... I don't know about the Alpha colour scheme. It looks a bit bland as well.
What they've done is
embrace their Sauber heritage.
Yeah, but then left some. Also, it looks like they've got a Peugeot badge on the front of their car, just there. See that? I think that's actually a beer brand.
Is that for Singer beer?
Yeah, but it makes their car look like a Peugeot.
You're right. I can see that. But what's also not helpful is that you're pointing to Rob. I'm not in the same room as you.
Yeah. No.
So even I couldn't see it, and I'm looking at the same picture.
Ben.
Yeah, but our listeners don't even have
a
picture.
Ben, it's above the back wheel on the left.
is this a throwback to that quiz he did where he was like, oh, yeah, the wing end plate. Oh, right, yeah. So it's on the front wing. No, it's on the rear wing. Oh, yeah, those famous end plates on the rear wing.
Oh, Ben.
Marvellous. Well, that's a good solid rundown, Ben. And you've been far more succinct than we'd have been in previous years. We'd have dragged that out for about 20 minutes, just talking about the colours.
I like the Renault. I like the black and yellow.
Cool. So Ben's a Renault fan.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Shall we start there with our driver preview?
Yeah.
Daniel Ricciardo.
I don't like him anymore.
What?
I don't like him anymore. I think he's a hipster.
I mean, John, I'm looking at you here, and you've got... Your beard is now possibly the most hipster it's ever been, and you're here saying that Daniel Ricciardo is a hipster, so you don't like him.
My beard
anymore.
Is voluptuous, King.
No, it's not.
Anyway, Daniel Ricciardo keeps saying hipster things, and it annoys me, so I'm starting to go off him. He's getting annoying. I unfollowed him on Instagram, and I'm sure he's very concerned about that.
Cool. So Daniel Ricciardo doesn't give a shit about that.
I think he's
because
a cunt.
He's a lovely bloke. I think. Well, I mean, so much has been said about Ricciardo moving to Renault.
Yeah.
For the new season, that I don't think we need to cover it in any particular detail.
Nope.
But I think it'll be interesting to see how Hülkenberg gets on against him, because I think that'll be a The biggest thing for me will be that Ricciardo will be a massive test for Hülkenberg.
Back to Ricciardo being a hipster.
Ugh,
did you know that he's got his own beer company?
I did not.
Craft beer, made in Monaco.
Right, okay.
Hipster.
Okay, about an hour ago, John, we walked past a craft beer place, and I said, oh, look, there's a new craft beer place has opened up, and you said, oh, we should pop in there.
That's because
whilst
I
rubbing your beard. Ooh, ooh, hipstery, ooh.
To clarify, that's because I was a bit thirsty. But yeah, don't like Ricciardo. So I'm supporting Nico Hülkenberg, and I hope Ricciardo retires in every race until he learns how to be unhipstery again.
So there you go, Ben. So when you're supporting the Renault F1 team this season, you can cheer on Ricciardo, because John doesn't like him anymore.
I will definitely do that.
Marvellous.
He'll forget.
Who else is interesting then?
If you want to talk interesting, let's go to Alfa Romeo Racing, formerly Sauber. Kimi Raikkonen and Antonio Giovinazzi. What do you know about Giovinazzi, John?
He is an Italian man who once crashed a car in China.
That is a succinct description.
Yep.
And what do you know about Kimi Raikkonen?
He is a man from Finland, likes an ice cream, likes a drink.
Loves a drink.
A lot of the time, he doesn't really want to talk to anyone.
True.
So he's my ideal person to be around in the morning.
Ben, if you haven't watched it, or listeners as well, if you haven't watched it, the video of Kimi Raikkonen at the end of season F1 awards is a sight to behold.
It's hilarious, yeah.
He's
off his
absolutely
tits.
Off his tits. It's just marvellous. He's such an endearing chap anyway.
Yep.
But I think he just endears himself to everyone even more by the fact that we now know that he likes a drink.
Yep, and he loves a drink.
Who doesn't like a drink?
I mean, we all love a drinking.
Well, exactly. We're drinking right now.
Except Ben, he can't drink a pint. But the rest of us love a drink.
Ben likes a sparkling water.
He does.
Oh, I can't stand sparkling water.
Oh, no, who can? Who drinks sparkling water?
Oh.
I like it.
Yeah, typical. Captain Hipster over here with his beard. Oh, honestly.
I love a bit of Sam Pell. What's wrong with that?
So, yeah, anyway, I'm expecting big things from Sauber Alfa Romeo this year.
Big Saub?
By which I mean, I reckon a run at top five in the championship.
I reckon they'll win it. I reckon they might win it this year. Also, did you know that due to this partnership, Sauber are going to put some of their inputs into Alfa Romeo's road cars?
Is this true?
That's true. Sauber are going to be enhancing some of Alfa's road cars, apparently. Whether that actually happens or not. Like, because Alfa Romeo say stuff like, we're bringing out 5 new cars in 2 years. And everyone goes, oh great, we'll write a headline about that. And then it doesn't happen for 10 years. Or maybe 12. Or maybe it just doesn't happen at all. So it could be one of those things where it's just something Alfa Romeo has said and it doesn't come true.
Good. Where do you want to go next, John?
I would like to go to India.
Force India.
Yes.
As they were. Now, Racing Point F1 Sport Pacer.
Yeah, they've been ripped
something.
Up and... I love that team, King. Every time I play as them on F1 2016, wherever it is we used to play, I was amazing with them. Absolutely amazing. So I think they're going to come second this year.
But they're no longer Force India.
Close enough, though. The Indian connection lives on for me, King.
Okay. Just some more cultural learning for you, Ben. So the Force India team last season went into administration and were bought out by a gentleman by the name of Mr. Stroll. Now, his son, Lance... is a bang average F1 driver. Bang average at best, maybe?
He has had a podium, though.
He did. Azerbaijan. Brilliant drive. And then
so
he's done bugger all
since.
So his
dad bought the car company to
So his dad's bought the
in.
Team, and now his son, who probably wouldn't have got a drive this season, is now driving for them this season.
Yep.
Alongside Sergio Perez, who's a chirpy little Mexican gentleman.
It's like if King brought a team and called it Smooth Traffic Racing. He put me in the car. Even though I have no right to be there. But instead of, you know, not because I'm poor and I can't afford a seat in the team, cause definitely could, just for a laugh. Just because it would be funny.
Am I your dad? Is that what you're saying?
Podcast dad.
That feels worse.
Yeah, also you've brought up your son to be a hipster, so shame on you, Rob.
So, moving swiftly on before we get bogged down in some kind of strange Oedipus complex type thing, let's head to the back of the grid. Let's look at the British teams.
McLaren and Williams.
McLaren and Williams. Now, McLaren, obviously, end of an era. Fernando Alonso left Formula One at the end of the last season and has been replaced by who some people probably consider to be his spiritual successor, or at least his national successor, Carlos Sainz Jr. Now, I quite like Sainz. I think he's got good racecraft.
I do
he's got
well.
A bit of pace about him.
Yeah.
I think he's a good sign-in for McLaren.
Yep. He's a nice lad.
He just does come across as a genuinely nice lad. Yep.
Unlike Lando Norris.
I know nothing
of
Lando Norris.
He comes across as a bit of a smug bastard.
Other than the fact that he's got a funny name. And he's from Bristol.
He is always on social media.
Oh, really?
And that gets on my tits.
Why does that get on your tits, John?
Because Formula One drivers should.
If I recall, you were always on social media.
They should. They should not be on social media at all. They should only drive, or get up to stuff that the papers need to find out.
So they don't even have a picture of him on Wikipedia.
Probably because he's stolen it to put it on his Instagram. That's how Instagram.
Well,
works.
He is only what 19.
Yeah.
So.
Is he? Bloody hell.
Yeah. So he's one of the young guns, same as at Williams, George Russell. Who, again, John has strong feelings on. Surprise, surprise.
Ben,
hmm.
George Russell has a face that creeps me out, and I don't know why. His face actually scares me. I don't know why. Maybe I've seen him in a nightmare before or something. But every time I see George Russell, I sort of go, ooh. Something scares me about him. I don't know whether that's because I'm sensing maybe the dark side.
He does have a strange look to him. I think he looks like he's evil behind his eyes.
Do you think he's dark side? Because, I mean, Ben is obviously pretty much Jedi, isn't he? You know, pretty much nailed down Jedi, and he knows his stuff.
You reckon?
Yeah, I reckon he knows his stuff about, you know, the light side.
You don't think that Ben's just, like, generic bureaucrat number one, bang in the middle,
I mean,
unaffected by the Force?
But he moves around the guys who are good with the Force, so he's probably got a good ear for it.
Oh, so you're saying that he's got the documented... details of yeah. the good side.
Yeah.
Without
good networker. Yeah.
I think George Russell is a Sith.
Okay. So he could...
And Kibitz nearly lost his hand, like a lightsaber fight thing happened.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, so Robert Kubica is the other driver for Williams this season. Possibly the most exciting return to motorsport since Michael Schumacher. John is shaking his head in disagreement. Are you not happy to see him back, though? Do you not think that he deserves one more crack of the whip?
No.
Just to see if he can do it?
When did he retire? Because he's 34?
Well, he didn't really retire. He had a rally crash in the off-season 7-8 years ago. And,
okay.
Yeah, basically he smashed up the car and almost severed most of his right arm.
Oh, right.
But, you know, he's been back testing in F1 for a couple of seasons now. And there was a lot of talk about him getting a drive last year, but it didn't happen. And I always really liked him when he was first in F1. You know, he had a strong time with Renault and
Williams. No, was BMW it was called.
Yeah,
wasn't
BMW
it?
Sauber, wasn't it?
Yeah,
yeah. I'll be interested to see how he gets on with the new cars, because realistically, the only thing that's changed are the cars.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think that his mentality won't have changed. I don't think it's fair for us to talk about whether he can physically manage driving the car, because he clearly can, otherwise he wouldn't have been testing for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And Williams, you know, Williams wouldn't pay him to race their cars if he wasn't capable of doing it. So I think all this talk about whether he can or can't do it because of his injuries, I think it's just nonsense and largely irrelevant. The thing is whether he can make the car work compared to how he used to be able to make those cars work, what, 8-9 years ago.
I wouldn't have picked him just because he's been out of it for quite a while, and I think there's better options now, and I think a lot of the older guys aren't that good, because I think these cars are better with young drivers. I don't know why that is, but I think these cars work better with younger drivers. I'm not sure. I can't explain why that is, but I'm not convinced by older guys coming back in. I'd like to see Esteban Ocon racing this year.
Oh, absolutely. I think Ocon
and Brendan Hartley, because I thought he was good as well, but
Hartley,
he was very unlucky.
I mean, I can't believe that Wehrlein is not being even talked about anymore.
Yeah.
Pascal Wehrlein was fantastic. So, yeah, already you've got three perfectly good drivers. 20 years ago, there'd have been another 4 or 5 teams on the grid.
Yeah.
Which were scraping together money and driving terrible cars, but these people would still be on the grid, so...
Yeah. Bring back Minardi.
Moving on from there, then. Someone else returning. Daniel Kvyat at Toro Rosso.
Yeah, like, why has he come back?
I always felt that he was hard done by when he got the big heave-ho. I think that, personally, I think that Red Bull, the way that they operate, Red Bull and their Toro Rosso underlings, they're far too similar to the way that Roman Abramovich runs Chelsea.
Yeah.
If things aren't going well, it's a snap decision to get rid of someone. It's not give them time. You know, I mean, Kvyat is...
25, something like that?
Yeah, 24, 25. So he's still a young driver. It's not like he's an old man or anything. Yet, you know, a couple of little mistakes, not performing to the level that they want, and he's out. And I just think that's incredibly harsh. So I'm glad to see him back. I totally agree. I think that particularly Esteban Ocon, I think, is possibly the more deserving of a seat. But I do feel that Kvyat deserves to be back on the grid, and I think he was harshly cast aside. Anyway, he's joined by Alexander Albon, who is the first Thai Formula One driver since Prince something or other from the 1960s.
Prince Birra?
That sounds vaguely right.
Or Prince Nassim Hamid?
Oh yeah, Prince Birra. 1954. You know,
great,
exciting
great
times
news for Thailand. I don't know anything about him, so good luck to him.
Finished third in Formula 2 last season.
I'd rather have seen Nigel Mansell come back, to be honest.
This is getting out of hand now. Ben's chimed in because he knows who Nigel Mansell is. See, this helps us kind of gauge where Ben's cultural knowledge ends.
Yeah.
So definitely the mid-90s.
Mid-90s.
Yeah. Also, I was slightly distracted by trying to work out why that guy reminded me of, that Daniel Kvyat.
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 Who do you think he reminds you of?
Have a look on WhatsApp.
Johnny Evans. That is a great spot, Ben.
Yeah, good shout, Ben.
Uncanny.
Well, now we know. I mean, I've never seen Johnny Evans and Daniel Kvyat in the same room together. So they could be the same person. So, who is left to discuss? Oh, Haas? Grosjean, Magnussen, no changes. Keeping it simple. Keeping it rolling.
Haas are such a generic team. They're like a copy-paste team. And it's like, if this was a video game, the Haas team would be the team you can just overwrite. Straight away.
Are you saying that they're a generic Pro Evo team?
Yeah.
That are just waiting to be replaced by Benetton?
Yeah. Like, boring.
I mean, they got some pace with the Ferrari parts, though.
Still boring, though.
Right.
I think Haas might come in the bottom three, actually.
Ooh. Well, top three, then.
Yeah.
Red Bull, Pierre
Honda.
Gasly,
yeah.
Max Verstappen. How much is Honda going to affect their performance this year? The Toro Rossos didn't look bad last year. You know, it seemed to be working. And you kind of think that Red Bull would have been heavily involved in the Toro Rosso chassis development and stuff. So
I'm starting to think Honda might start to come good.
Poor and Fernando.
If it's going to come, yeah. If it's going to come good, I think it will come good in a Red Bull car.
Yeah.
And Max Verstappen is maybe the best driver on the grid. That's a bit bold, but he could be the best driver on the grid. He could actually be the best driver on the grid. If Vettel performs like he did last year, he needs to retire. Hamilton, I refuse to count into any conversation about being good or great, because I don't like the guy.
I mean, I've Charles Leclerc last season. A debut season like with Sauber. I'm not saying that he's at the same level as Max is at the moment. Verstappen's certainly a cut above at the moment.
Yeah.
But I think 4 or 5 years' time, when Vettel and Hamilton are done, Max and Leclerc could be the fight to dominate a good sort of 10 years of Formula One. Presuming Formula One goes on that long, Formula E could become the pinnacle of the sport.
It could be. And I think I'll want to retire from life if that happens.
Well, we know it'll be the pinnacle of the sport when Daniel Ricciardo moves from Renault to Formula E. That's how we'll know.
I reckon that'll be next season, because Renault are dreadful.
I mean, all the big players are going into Formula E next year, though, aren't they?
Yeah.
Porsche, Mercedes. I'm sure there's someone else that's joining Formula E as well. Nissan? Or are they in it this year?
I think it might be Nissan. Yeah.
Anyway, we're getting sidetracked. So, yeah, no, I can certainly see Max as being potentially the best driver on the grid. I think Charles Leclerc is the person that's going to give him a run for his money long term.
I don't think Ferrari will let Charles beat Sebastian. So I think it's going to be a quiet year for Charles.
Do you know, I don't agree with you.
You reckon they might push him?
I'm not saying that they'll push him, but I think they'll give him the opportunity. I think until we get to a point where Vettel is either throwing his toys out the pram because he's not getting his own way, so, you know, potentially after the first race, or we get to a point where Vettel's ahead in the championship, and therefore they say, look, you know, this is how we're going. But I genuinely think that the first 4 or 5 races of the season, I reckon that Ferrari will say, you know, you go for it, lads. Genuinely.
I can see why you say that, but I keep thinking back to Felipe Massa, who was a brilliant Formula One driver and was world champion in my eyes, because Lewis obviously paid to win his first world title. It's obvious. Look at the footage.
Anyway, makes your point.
Anyway, Massa was really, really highly thought of at Ferrari.
Yep.
And they still made him move over all the time. So
it's an interesting point, because funnily enough, Felipe Massa was exactly what I was thinking of when I was making the point that I think they'll let him go for it. Because having listened to the Formula One podcast, Beyond the Grid, with Tom Clarkson, him speaking to Rob Smedley about his time at Ferrari with Felipe Massa, what I got from that was that, although obviously it's very publicly known about all of their team orders over the years, Ferrari aren't just a team orders team. You know, they are a team that operate as a whole team. They don't, although you obviously have a number one and number two driver, but I kind of got the impression that they're not as militant with that as maybe they once were. And obviously with the new sort of team management and stuff there, I just think that times could be a changing, you know?
I don't believe it, but
all right,
you have to.
Well, you know,
I don't know. I think
that's because you're a cynic, though. You think
I am
you
cynical.
Think that Daniel Ricciardo is a
he's
filthy
a
hipster.
Yeah, he's definitely a hipster.
You know, you dislike possibly the nicest person on the grid. Yeah, you probably dislike 50% of the grid.
Yeah, and probably 75% if you include people.
If you include people. Just leave it there, John.
Yeah.
Just leave it there. John dislikes 75% of the grid if you include people.
There's no one I really want to cheer for this year, apart from Kimi and the Alphas.
Okay.
Everyone else I just don't give a toss about. I'll cheer for Williams, because I've always loved Williams. But they are terrible. So, I mean, it's like cheering for a snail in an Olympic 100-meter race.
Okay, let's go with the big test now. Ben.
Yes.
How many of these drivers are you familiar with? How many of those names did you already know? John's made his prediction.
Yep.
I've made mine.
So, Kimi Raikkonen. Sebastian
That's
Vettel.
One. Two.
Hamilton, obviously.
Three.
Max Verstappen, I'm aware of, yeah.
Four.
Daniel Ricciardo.
Five.
That's probably it, to be honest with you.
Well, John had you down for three.
Oh, good.
And I had you down for good four. Effort. So,
oh, okay.
You've done us proud. You've done us really proud, Ben.
Yeah.
Five.
Well,
so now that you're such an expert, Ben, who's going to win the world championship this year?
Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, he's right.
You reckon?
Yeah, because Mercedes are doing this thing at the moment that they do every single
year.
Oh,
yeah.
That everyone seems to have forgotten about, where they pretend to go really slow in testing and be like, oh, and a few of them just say, we're not sure about this car this year.
Toto comes out and says, oh, Ferrari look really quick this
year.
Yeah,
Ferrari are definitely in the leading position. We're well down at the moment. We're a long way back from where we want to be. The thing is, Mercedes have ripped out their old engine and put in a completely new system this year. And they wouldn't have done that unless they knew it was fucking brilliant. So they're going to win every single race.
Did I read that they've been... I mean, obviously, because of when the... technical regulation changes were announced, what, 3 years ago maybe?
Mm.
You know, at that point, anyone could have started working on it. But I think I read that Mercedes have been working on this car for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like... something that I found quite interesting middle of last year with Sauber was that they had exceeded their expectations by the sixth or seventh race of the season. And yeah, apparently, within the team, once they got to that point, they then... dropped everything and started working on the car for this season. So, you know, you think that they've got a very small budget in comparison to the big teams.
Mm.
So they only had, you know, although they've still had 6 months of last season to work on it, if Mercedes have been working on that for 3 years, you know, you just think if they're not top of the pile, then, you know, who will be? It's... And don't get me wrong, I would love to sit here and say, as I do every time, and I'm going to say it anyway, I think Sebastian Vettel will win the world championship. It's not going to happen, but you've just got to believe.
Yeah. Like, that's why I think Alfa Romeo will win the championship, despite Mercedes winning every single race.
What, win the constructors? Because they come second and third
second
in every
and
race.
Second and third in every race.
And Bottas just
absolutely... Bottas's head has completely gone, so he's going to come, like, 20th in every race. Even if there's retirements.
Wow, that's quite a statement.
Yeah.
Naturally, I'm going to predict that Ferrari win the Constructors' Championship, but logically, it's Mercedes again. And I mean, I would love to see Kimi Raikkonen win the championship. Can you imagine that?
Muted celebrations.
Apparently, day one of testing, I think he was second or third fastest.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and he was well ahead of the Mercedes because they were going really slow.
Yeah, Mercedes. They only used first gear. and they
were still lapping faster than the Williams.
Yeah, incredible.
Who didn't turn up.
Yeah.
Williams' best lap time, 3 days.
You know I like to make bold predictions, King.
Do you?
Yep. I'm going to say Kubica will leave Williams halfway through the season.
Okay.
Hamilton will retire at the end of the season.
Ooh. So Hamilton is now a 5-time world champion, correct?
Yep.
So that would be 6. Do you not think...
What's the record?
7.
By Schumacher?
Yeah, so Michael Schumacher has 7 world championships. Do you not think that if Hamilton won it, he'd keep going?
He is... 33, 34, something like that, isn't he, Hamilton?
I think he wants to go into music and fashion, doesn't he?
He is 34, Ben, yes.
So I think he'll pack it in. I also think...
That's quite a statement.
He doesn't want to have a good teammate come in, and I think Bottas will be leaving Mercedes at the end of the year. Mercedes will want a good driver to come in.
Yeah, the Bottas situation really confuses me. Like, he's... Again, he seems like such a nice guy, and
T-boy.
I think that what Mercedes need in there is... someone who will shake things up from a competitive standpoint. If you want your team to be locking out the front row every race, you need 2 top level drivers. And while I really like Bottas, I think that he's the kind of guy that will just toe the party line.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to cause any trouble. And he's probably sat there thinking, you know, if Lewis retires, I'm going to be number one driver here.
But he's not.
But if that happened, I think it would be far too late.
Yeah.
Because if he became number one driver, you think next season, say Hamilton leaves, they decide to keep Bottas, number one driver. You presume that Red Bull and Honda will have stepped up again. So you think that Max has got a competitive car.
Mm.
You know, whether Vettel is still at Ferrari or not, him and Leclerc are a fantastic pairing. And that's exactly, you know, that's what Ferrari have done. They've got 2 drivers that, in theory, could fight tooth and nail every race. Whereas I don't think Bottas can compete with Hamilton.
No, he can't. You need someone to bring the best out of the other person.
Yeah, exactly that. You've summed up what I said in about 3 minutes in the space of 5 seconds. So well done, Chuck.
And that's why bold prediction number 3.
Okay.
Or maybe number 4. I think Fernando Alonso will race this year. At some point, I think he's going to get in the car.
Like Jenson Button did a one-off while Fernando was in
Yeah. I don't know whether it'll be
America.
Like Lando injuring himself on Snapchat and Alonso having to come in to fill in. Or maybe Carlos Sainz falling off a snowboard or something like that.
No, Sainz will probably injure himself racing his dad in something.
Yeah.
Because that's all they seem to do when they're at home. I mean, I'd love to see him back. I just can't see it happening.
I reckon he might. I reckon he might get an itchy little itch.
You don't think that someone like Jenson Button would be... For someone like McLaren, you don't think that Button would be the first person on their speed dial for a one-off race?
Because Alonso's still the third driver at McLaren, isn't he? I think Alonso's the first number you call.
But I mean, you'd say that for any team, though, surely?
Yeah.
Like, if you were going to phone someone, Fernando Alonso.
I mean, I'd love to ring Fernando. Just to say hello. I would love that, King. I would love to ring... If anyone listening to the podcast has got Fernando Alonso's number... Send me a direct message on Twitter. I'll give him a ring.
And if you don't have Fernando Alonso's number, but you've got the number of someone you really dislike, send it to John. Just tell him it's Fernando, because that would be hilarious.
I'll give him a ring. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, I bet he'd be really nice about it as well.
Yeah, I reckon he would.
I bet he wouldn't. He wouldn't be one of those people who'd be like, "Who gave you this number?"
Yeah, he'd be like,
"Never phone me again." He'd probably be really polite.
I'd love
say,
Fernando.
Do you want me to send you a hat?
He's like a teddy bear that can drive fast.
Any predictions from you, Ben? Do you think any of the cars will change colour during the season? Or
I actually think that the Haas car will change, because I think much like United back in the day when they changed their grey kit mid-time, you know, half-time against Southampton because they couldn't see each other. I think they're going to do something similar.
Well, fun fact, Ben.
In a race.
In a race, yeah. They'll pit stop and they'll quickly, you know.
They'll get the spray paint out.
Get the spray cans out. Draw some smiley faces on there.
Fun fact, Ben, and I don't know if you already knew this or if this is just complete serendipity, but
good film.
Haas have previous in this area. They have changed livery. Their first season, they did change their livery mid-season because I think TV cameras were struggling to pick up the car numbers because of the way that their livery
and stuff, I guess.
Yeah, so changed part of the colouring of their car.
No, I was making up entirely because...
Oh, okay. Well, no, that's...
I don't know anything, so, you know, there we go. That was just luck. Also, nice I always like to call them Haas. I don't know why.
Ben, who do you think will win the Hungarian Grand Prix of this year?
Well, that's a good question. I think Max Verstappen.
Ooh, that's not a bad shout.
We'll make a note of that, Ben.
I mean, it's not really a track... Well, it wasn't a track for Red Bull last year, was it? Although Ricciardo pulled off how many fantastic passes into Turn 1?
Yeah, but he was probably...
Just leave him alone, John!
I'm going to leave him alone. I'm sorry, Dan.
All right. In the interest of bold predictions, I'm going to say that Charles Leclerc will finish second in the World Championship.
That is very bold.
And Daniel Ricciardo...
No. No.
...will turn up on John's door and slap him in the face with his driving gloves.
Or with his shoe.
Because I'm going to get right onto him now. Dear Daniel. And third bold prediction. I like your point about Kubica not making the season. I think that's a really good shout. But third bold prediction. I think Williams will be subject to a takeover bid from some rich and powerful person because they are so far off the pace
that they're pointless.
They're just walking around with a hand out like a begging bowl,
yeah,
asking for money. So someone
and
really
that person
random
will come in and put the old colour scheme back in again.
No, that person will come in and say that they've got loads of money, but they won't actually have any money at all.
And that person could be
Bernie Eccleston.
Bernie F1. Or could it be Greg Minardi, who used to own Minardi in Formula 1 team? Time will tell. Time will tell.
Greg Minardi.
Sounds like a reality TV star, doesn't he?
Hi, I'm Greg Minardi, and I'm going to be on the new series of Big Brother. Dear 54, in the Big Brother house, Greg Minardi has made some toast.
He's on the phone, trying to buy a team.
I don't think they phone people in Big Brother. I don't think they're allowed contact with the outside world.
Probably not.
Anyway.
If anyone could do it, Greg could do it.
Yeah.
He's that kind of guy.
Do we have anything else to talk about? Ben, you seem quite excited about the changes
other
to the technical
regulations. Yeah.
Well, basically, Liberty Media, who bought F1 2 to 3 years ago,
yep,
basically said that they want F1 to be more competitive and better to watch, even though viewing figures have gone up year on year, minutely, admittedly. But anyway, so basically, aerodynamic changes are the name of the game for this year, Ben.
Right.
The idea being that that will improve overtaking, because front and rear wings are being changed. Front wing end plates in particular are being reshaped. And I know that you love an end plate, Ben.
I do.
Mm. So basically the idea is that it will reduce the effects of turbulence on cars that are following.
Okay. So it doesn't affect your aerodynamics as much. It's more about disrupting the air behind you for the others.
Yeah, it's more about disrupting it in a positive manner, or rather not allowing teams to disrupt it in a manner that would prevent other teams from going past.
So is that a thing that happens at the moment then?
Well, I don't know. I haven't really looked into it. But
I mean, that's a nice idea, isn't it?
So it kind of defeats the object of competitive sport, though, surely, if you're not allowed to try and stop your rivals from getting past you.
Well, I think it's kind of like Mario Kart. If you're miles back in the grid, you sometimes get the bullet and you get the first place shell and stuff like that. But if you're at the front, you just get coins. So actually, if you're at the front, you don't get any benefit. But the person behind you gets a little bit of a speed boost.
And that's very apt as well, because if you're at the front in Formula 1, you are getting a lot of coin.
Yeah.
Because
exactly.
Oh, well,
your sponsors
done
are on TV.
Yeah.
The F1 pays you out if you win races. If you win the championship, you get more coin.
Mm.
But, sadly, there is no blue shell in Formula 1. And I'd love it if there was, because it would
always
land on
Hamilton.
There is
no blue shell. There's only Charlie Whiting waving his flag and shouting, "Get up to the driver's room. I want a word with you."
Yeah. He's like referee John Anderson of Formula 1.
Yeah.
Sebastian, you will go on my first whistle. Anyway, enough of the gladiators from the mid-90s.
Anything else that we should know about? Are they, so we've still got these sort of hybrid engines in there, I presume.
Yeah.
Boring.
And anything else like that they've changed, or is it just aerodynamics?
I can tell you a fun fact about the front wings, Ben. I say fun fact.
You keep saying fun fact. It rarely is.
The front wings are now as wide as they were back in 2008, I think it is, 2007.
They were big as well.
Basically, back when the noses were high and you had a front wing down in front of the wheels, whereas obviously the wheels of the new cars are... No, the wheels of the old cars were extended beyond where the front wing was.
Okay.
Whereas now they're kind of... The front wing covers the whole of the front of the car and stretches out in front of the front wheels. Presumably, that provides some kind of important aerodynamics in itself.
The cars are much bigger than they used to be.
Hmm.
I don't know if you've seen pictures of that, but like compared to like 10 years ago, the cars are probably, 2 feet longer?
Okay.
Something massive like that. The old cars look tiny now anyway. It makes you wonder how drivers actually fitted in them.
No, but that's the thing. Width-wise, the old ones were wider.
Hmm.
Because obviously the front wing on the new ones is the entire width of the car, basically.
Yeah.
Whereas on the old ones, the front wing was as wide as the gap between the front tyres. So you had then a tyre each side again in terms of width. So.
But this is why it's a formula sport, because you have to make your car to the formula.
Yeah. That is a perfect sum up of what formula racing is, John.
Yep.
I didn't realise that you'd be so useful. Sorry. <Okay. laughs> Sorry, the surprised look on my face is because I wasn't expecting you to say something sensible.
Yep.
I don't think much else has changed, really. I think there are some changes in how heavy drivers can have to be.
Yeah.
And they'll stick ballast in if you're too skinny.
They're allowed brand flakes now.
Yeah, it's apparently if you're taller, then obviously you weigh more, but also you have less of an advantage than the smaller drivers.
So if you're big and sexy, like me and you, then someone who's runty, like Ben, would have to have ballast in his car to make him also...
Yes, I mean, I wouldn't have used those words, but yes.
What, runty?
No.
Big and sexy?
No. None of those words.
I thought they were good words.
If you were rotund gentlemen like you and I...
Big and sexy.
And if you were abnormally skinny, like Ben... Actually, is that as offensive as runty, Ben?
I mean, none of them are my preferred terms.
If you're below average, like Ben, no, that sounds offensive as well. There are no
Ben
positive.
Ben is below average.
There are no compliments for skinny people
for Ben
that aren't backhanded compliments. Anyway, we're getting away. So yeah, oh, there's another two tire compounds as well.
Yeah,
like ultra, super, hyper soft and. Super ultra hyper soft. And...
They've got different colour stripes. I don't know if you've ever seen the tyres, Ben, but have you got a preferred colour stripe on the tyre?
I think I prefer the white, because the yellow is just messing with the colour scheme of the car. Apart from with the Renault. The yellow obviously works nicely with that.
He's done there.
I like the red one.
But the yellow on the McLaren doesn't match the orange of the rest of it. So
yeah,
it clashes. It works nicely with the Ferrari, and it looks daft on the Alfa. So, you know.
Yeah, I'll
see. Tyre colours are important.
And that's why Ben drives with white wall tyres.
Yeah. He's got an old Cadillac. Is that all of the F1 cover then? Because, I mean, the races are the same, aren't they? They'll be dull as fuck. The whole season's going to be dull as fuck. And there's a few new drivers. So, I mean, I'll watch the highlights on YouTube like I did last year and be grateful I didn't watch the whole thing.
Yeah. Okay, good. Ben, anything to add?
No.
Will you tune in for any of the races now that you've had our in-depth, appalling preview?
No, I don't think so. Not really.
No.
I may catch the highlights. I'm more inclined to watch the highlights than I am a full race. So.
Yeah, especially if there's a big crash.
to be fair, that's why people watch it, though, isn't it? You know?
Yeah,
it's the danger.
That's why I always make a point to watch the start of races.
Because yeah, that's in the good
old
exciting day, bit,
in the good old days, lap one... was an absolute crash fest.
Yep. It was like Destruction Derby 2 on the PS1.
You know, if there was ever a reason to watch the Belgian Grand Prix...
Oh, yeah.
La Source.
Yeah.
That first hairpin, carnage.
Yeah, someone's losing a wing. And also someone might run wide up at Radeon as well.
Yeah.
And go backwards into a tyre wall at 150 miles an hour, which is always great to watch.
Normally me on F1 2017.
Yeah, King bottles it all the time.
Well, to be fair, I don't know what the highlights package idea is for Channel 4 this year, Ben, but if it's anything like last year, for the races they didn't have, they showed a full rerun. So it wasn't highlights, it was actually the whole race.
Oh dear, okay.
Yeah, sad, isn't it? And that meant that Steve Jones got more airtime as well. He can get down the stairs.
I wonder what David Coulthard is going to do this year. Oh, well, obviously do the highlights package. What a stupid question.
And,
and drink whiskey.
And put his name on a whiskey, yeah. I wonder if he'll do what Conor McGregor does and bring his whiskey to every like press conference and stuff and just hold it there and just go, Papa 12! but Highland Park.
Can you imagine if David Coulthard just turns up and then every time Eddie Jordan's like, you know, why are you drinking this shit? And then it all just kicks off. And he's like, Irish whiskey's better than Scottish whiskey.
Oh,
and David Coulthard says, oh, look at my square chin.
I hope there's a whiskey fight on Channel 4 this year.
Steve Jones turns up with a bottle from Penderyn.
Oh, fuck off, Steve. Fuck off. Although it was quite nice, to be fair.
And then Mark Webber walks in with a six-pack of Castlemaine 4X. Hello, boys.
Oh, crap.
Well, I think that that sums up the F1 season quite nicely.
Yeah.
So, anything more to add, Ben?
Nope.
Anything more to add, John?
No.
Marvellous. Well, thank you for tuning in to episode 57 of Smooth Traffic. I've been Robert King, he's been Johnny Edge, and the other one's been Ben Lazarus Pierce.
And this has been a regretful experience for all of you.
And us. So join us for episode 58 in the next 3 to 6 months.
Yep, I'll be reviewing a toilet in episode 58, so if you'd like to know more about toilets, please tune in.
Well, thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
See you next week.
You're open.
Live.